The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
You're listening to Fresh FM. I'm Chrissy Small presenting Stranded in Paradise from the book by John Dix. In this show, you'll be hearing stories and songs from the history of New Zealand rock and roll from 1955 through to 1988.
Kia ora, this is John Dix. I'm the author of Stranded in Paradise, and you're listening to Fresh FM.
Look around, where's it all leading? There's people hungry and there's people bleeding. They keep the money in a concrete building. They've got us looking in the wrong direction.
And that was the most marvellous Midge Marsden with his song Burning Rain. And this is Stranded in Paradise, and this is part two of the Cult of Cult chapter in the book. In our last episode, we were looking at how independents were going out and doing it for themselves with their marketing and their production. Initiative and drive motivates the DIY artists, whether it be in recording, distribution, promotional videos, or promoting alternative gigs. It's considerably easier in the cities. Whatever style of music you're brandishing, out in the provinces, it can be a real battle for a band intent on experimental music. Palmerston North may not exactly be the Styx. It has a population of, at this time of writing the book, 60,000 plus. After all, it was and is a university town, but the predominant musical tastes are conservative. In 1983, for example, Midge Marsden could pack out the Albert Motor Lodge. The Clean couldn't. Little chance for a local experimental band like the Skeptics. They responded by founding their own gig, Snail Clamps, small, short-lived, and catering only to a minority. In 1983, Snail Clamps was both the city's only underage venue and the only one which provided alternative music. Formed in 1980, the Skeptics just couldn't compete with the local covers groups such as China, SP2 and Snatch, but the four-piece stuck it out, and in 1982, Last Orders, recorded on a four-track TAC, appeared on Furtive's three-piece pack. The Skeptics performed as far north as Auckland and down the line in Wellington, but mostly they covered the central North Island, playing New Plymouth, Whanganui and, whenever possible, their hometown.
She'll not go. crack.
And that was The Skeptics with Sheen of Gold. Now, there is a documentary called The Sheen of Gold about The Skeptics, and you can see that on New Zealand On Screen, which I believe is a must-watch. The Skeptics stuck with it despite the small returns, and in 1983 the band rented small council premises and called it Snail Clamps. Here, The Skeptics rehearsed, publicly performed, and provided a regular venue for the like-minded local acts, as well as out-of-towners such as the Nocturnal Projections and the Great Unwashed. Meanwhile, the group continued recording with releases on I'm a Hit and later Flying Nun, proving that it was possible to remain based in the provinces and build a national cult following. The Skeptics, Axemen, Henchmen, Nocturnal Projections, Say Yes to Appease. These bands have all enjoyed moderate success in the 80s, mostly via the DIY approach, gradually getting proficient on their instruments, keeping integrity intact, refusing to compromise. Cult status may not appeal to most budding musicians with eyes set firmly on Sydney from the outset, but some of these cult figures have provided highly innovative music that the rest of the world shall remain unaware of, as their existence is of no consequence.
First he came to Bangkok, he made ends meet, taking clients up an alley and making them feel sweet. He offered up his own body on a battered leatherette seat, and they knew him as Bloodsucker. For a better class of client, he leased a lean-to the bunk and hired a couple of workers to carry out the fight. What started as a sideline, paying them in junk, came to be a most convenient way of dealing with the workers. He had workers for the men, he had workers for their wives. Who would have thought he'd come to be so sensual to their wherever there's a human need, the bloodsucker thrives. The prices on the menu were rising. An upgrade of the services for cash. Clients better heal their requirements more rash. Blackmail rode in tandem with the photographic flash. All grew fatter. A fresh young talent, he'd a limitless supply. Satisfaction specialist, sleeping angel, succubi. He gauged the new blood medically, guaranteed supply. Diversify into general splatter. A discriminating market stretched from Rome to Santa Cruz, a universe pleading for terror. Today, his empire stretches to the corners of the earth. He can give you the time of Montreal, Istanbul, Perth. He can give you a healthy estimate on what one life is worth, allowing for margin error.
And that was Bill Duren, Song of the Bloodsucker. Jed Towns' Fetus Productions, on the other hand, was chalked up quite a few global miles with their multimedia experiments. At times, Bill Duren appears to have little enthusiasm for taking his music outside of the house, much less Sydney, London or New York. Doreen remains one of New Zealand's ultimate cult figures with a status which, at times, threatens to break out into national stardom, at which point he'll retire from the limelight for 6 months or so. A private person and family man, he didn't seek fame but possesses a talent so vast that widespread success seemed inevitable. That he is one of the most talented rock and rollers New Zealand has produced is an opinion shared by maybe a couple of thousand. Some people call him a genius. He's certainly eclectic, and his profile recorded output, albums, singles, EPs and cassettes, remains second to none throughout the 80s. Born in 1957 in Christchurch, Doreen was a natural academic with a preference for literature, but also drawn to music and theatre. He acquired his first guitar in 1972. It wasn't a good year for radio listening. The decline had begun, and it didn't take Doreen long to realise this. There had to be more to contemporary pop music than Daniel Boone and The Sweet. Doreen began checking out other musical styles, starting with Bob Dylan, and what better place to continue his education than at the Christchurch Folk Centre. New Zealand folk music archivist Phil Garland held court at the Christchurch Folk Centre every Saturday night. Anyone could get up and sing a song, and before long, Doreen was doing his thing in front of polite audiences. In 1975, without completing his first year at Canterbury University, he dropped out and took on a factory 9-to-5 job. Doreen soon tired of folk music's limitation, and his attention turned to rock. He delved into the past, discovering The Doors, Velvet Underground, Jimi Hendrix, The Seeds, 13th Floor Elevators, and purchasing a cheap electric guitar, he teamed up with bassist Stephen Kogel and drummer Pete Stapleton. Renting premises next to the Folk Centre, the trio began rehearsals in earnest. In 1977, violinist Teresa Maguire was added. Christchurch punk pioneers, they called themselves the Vacuum Tension Band, Vacuum and Blue Ladder, and later simply the Vacuum, playing a Velvet-influenced repertoire, gigging only occasionally and attracting little interest. The Vacuum would periodically surface right through to 1980, but it was only during the latter stages, with keyboards and viola player Peter Fryer replacing Maguire, that the band began attracting a sizable audience. Doreen resumed his academic career in 1977, studying French literature at Victoria University, and in August was joined by the Vacuum for an appearance at the university's arts festival, the group's only gig outside of the South Island. At year's end, Doreen's attention was again diverted from his studies when he took on a New Zealand broadcasting course and in 1978 was posted to Blenheim's 2ZE. Weekends would see either the Vacuum arrive in Blenheim for rehearsals or Doreen travel to Christchurch for gigs at Mollet Street, the British Hotel, and occasional supports at the Gladstone. Eventually, though, the top 40 demands of 2ZE got the better of him, and when the opportunity arose to take over Radio Windy's graveyard shift, Doreen gladly returned to the capital. Renamed Bill Diamond by station manager Ted Seymour, Doreen's stint at Windy was brief. Despite the hours, there was little freedom during his shift. It was back to Elton John and Rod Stewart. Still, to fend off boredom, he'd occasionally slot in a whole side of the Velvet Underground. Television, The Doors, only to have his band slapped later. "I've heard from a good authority," he once told listeners, "that Michael Fowler and Patricia Bartlett are not going to copulate in public to fundraise for the new town hall." Bill Diamond's career didn't last long. Back to Christchurch in the Vacuum, 1979, and Kiwi pride was really picking up. Cantabrians were beginning to take a closer look at the talents of Bill Doreen. By year's end, the Vacuum's periodic performances were attended by a small dedicated following. Bill Doreen had become a cult figure. There were regular lineup changes in the Vacuum in 1980. In mid-year, there was a name change, Casa Portico. They performed even less than the Vacuum. Late that year, Doreen was on the move again, working with the Phoenix Theatre as part of the Wellington Summer City scheme. While there, he formed a band of sorts, half a dozen like-minded sorts, who called themselves Six Impossible Things. For their handful of public appearances, there were really six people on stage, three being the favoured number. Despite some demand in Christchurch, the Vacuum had never released a record. Tapes recorded at the Robins studio were considered inferior by other band members. By late 1980, he had a huge backlog of compositions. It was time to make a move. Recorded at Sausage Studio by Robbie Duncan and released on the studio's label, Six Impossible Things came out in February 1981. Only 100 copies were pressed. A small ad and a review in Rip It Up drew attention to the release. It was soon forgotten, but it sold out and has since become a collector's item.
In a finance company office, she pounds the typewriter all day long. I clean the office, but she don't know I'm around. That's why I sing this crazy song. Although I'm just a cleaner, I'd like to get between her and her typewriter. The boss, he doesn't like me. In fact, he thinks I'm quite a bore. He told me if I don't stop staring at that girl, he's going to boot me out the door. Although I'm just a cleaner, going to get between her and her typewriter. Typewriter. She calls me over, starts to speak, must be my day. But when I get there, all she really wants to say is clean around my desk and empty out my trash can, if you please. She spills her coffee down my back while I'm groveling on my knees. Now is my chance if I can't ask her for a date. The coffee that is dripping down my pants will have to wait. Although I'm just a cleaner, I'm going to get between her and her typewriter. Typewriter. Yeah, the typewriter. Typewriter.
That was Hip Singles and Typewriter. In March, Doreen was again back in Christchurch studying the influence of Oriental drama on 20th century Western playwrights. He briefly considered an invitation to join Dick Driver's Hip Singles, but instead formed an avant-garde theatre company, the Soluble Fish Ensemble, and contributed four tracks to 20 Krypton Hits, the compilation album released by Campbell McLeod's Onset Offset indie label. With Casa Portico keyboardist Alan Meek, Doreen recorded an EP titled Solomon's Ball, and with Meek and drummer Malcolm Grant, he formed The Builders. ¶¶
dead, a lottery shop, the seven confessions.
And that was Bill Doreen with The Builders, Opium and Gold. Solomon's Ball, released in January 1982, was followed shortly after by Schwimmen in der See, credited to Builders and Doreen's best release to date, which included the poignant Girl at Night, one of his finest compositions.
One hand down, resting on her trouser leg. She saunters along, looking like a ten-buck bet. The only decent lovers are the people in the picture shows, you know, people in my dreams. People in my dreams, people on my screen, don't turn away. Yeah, but what's a man? She stops and lights a cigarette. And good, these little red riding
track needs no introduction. Doreen continued deriving his interest between the builders and the soluble fish ensemble. Then in mid-year, he put together a second group, primarily to enter a 3ZM band competition, featuring Doreen, Grant, Campbell, McClay on bass. They called themselves Orbs. And to their surprise, given predominant tastes in such contests, they won the event. First prize was recording time in the 3ZM studios and a trip to Auckland, playing the Windsor Castle, Reverb Room and Main Street, supporting the Fall. Orbs slaughtered the Aucklanders. Doreen's reputation had preceded him and fans of the alternative music were not disappointed. During their Auckland stay, the trio entered Terry King's Progressive Studios and with King and Doug Hood at the console, recorded a dozen songs which provided the bulk of the Beating Hearts album, released 12 months later and credited to the Builders. You work it out. Orbs split up upon their return to Christchurch in September 1982, and Doreen continued pursuing his theatrical interests with the Soluble Fish Ensemble and recording and releasing yet another EP, High 30s Piano, which included, of all things, an André Breton poem. In December came Dance of Death by the Soluble Fish Ensemble, and in July, a poor quality cassette release, Gone Alwa, by yet another new band, Above Ground, needless to say, the group was short-lived. Finally released in July 1983, Beating Hearts really was long-awaited. Doreen had now built up nationwide interest for his critically acclaimed but hard-to-get releases. But with Beating Hearts, released on Flying Nun, he was at long last available for all to hear. 17 songs in all, some previously released on earlier recordings. This was a remarkable album, displaying Doreen in many guises.
Take your truck in tow, me boy, we'll feed you on a line. See and hear the words, slurp slugs, we'll turn them into signs. Down that road, white angel, and you'll come back black and blue. Just take your place real easy, that's advice that can be seen. If you sit by this tree long enough, they'll make you king, queen. Social contract, now you're wrapped in a mystique. You can educate your palate, but you can't teach it how to speak. There's lots more where that one came from. Who needs them? Puffs the gnome.
Shapes of butter spread soul. I love you in a time terrible smile. I love you unbuckling on the sun scorched days. I love you repetitive fire flow. Oh, yeah, I guess I love you. Died and blessed. Wrapped and wretched. Sinking in you.
And that was The Builders off their Beaten Hearts album, Whanganui with a White Face. After spending several months in wife Carol's native Scotland in 1983, Doreen returned to New Zealand filled with fresh enthusiasm. A new theatrical venture, Blue Ladder, a publishing company, Full Moon, and more recording. Feast of Frogs, credited to Bill Doreen and Carol Woodward, was a DIY release featuring four Boris Vian songs live at the Gladstone. Released in July was a cassette release of solo Doreen. 2 months later came a second album, Split Seconds by Bill Doreen, on the Doreen's Full Moon label. Another great collection of songs. Critical acclaim was unanimous, and the more melodic songs suggested that Bill Doreen was capable of widespread acceptance. He didn't appear interested, remaining deliberately underground. In 1985, a new Builders emerged. Doreen, bassist Greg Bainbridge, and drummer Stuart Page. The new band gigged outside Christchurch more often than previous Doreen lineups, travelling to Auckland and Wellington and pulling in large crowds. A third album, Conch 3, was released by Flying Nun in March. It too had its share of gems, diversified but cohesive. Later in the year, Doreen shifted to the capital, released yet another album, Let's Play, and began fostering a bunch of artists for his South Indies label. Regardless of his preferred low profile, Bill Doreen possessed a potential to break out of cult status and rise to the top. His quirky pop songs perpetually changed. Alien, Alligator, Bedrock Bay, Moderation, Dirty and Disgusting, Girl at Night, Retail Trade. Few New Zealand artists of the 80s have produced so many genuine classic compositions.
Yeah. his fiddle with a bow of your hair. Yours human alarm. Jenny, if it smells strange, it's alright. Jenny, if it smells strange, it's alright, little boy. Confusing circumstances, he wets you with a spittle, smashes every light bulb. A frenzy of delight, and the whole street smoking ashes. The cuckoo's just a little, and it covers his scars. Christ, Jenny, if it smells strange, it's alright. Jenny, if it smells strange, it's alright.
And that was two of Bill Doreen's The Builder's songs. First one was Retail Trade, and this last one was Dirty and Disgusting. In our next episode of Stranded in Paradise, we will be looking at the Tall Dwarfs. So make sure you kick back and relax and have a listen to some of those great tunes that we'll bring to you in that episode. Of course, the Tall Dwarfs were Chris Knox and Alec Bathgate. So keep your ears tuned for that. We'll go out on a Tall Dwarfs song for the end of this episode, and it's from the Slug Bucket Hairy Breath album, and this track is called Crush. So thanks for listening to Stranded in Paradise. I'm Chrissy Small, your host, from the book by John Dix. So here we go, Tall Dwarfs. Thank you.
or a rock or a king. There is a mean little look and rise above the gun. Famous getting power and they crush a limb and they lights out it all around. What do you feel when you find out that everyone loathes you? Are you alone? Are you frightened of people you see? Can your face go in my when you know the whole world despises you? How do you feel? Is it good? Is it bad? Is it free? There are some people who can swallow their fear, go straight ahead and then crush the living daylights out of all around. What do you feel when you know that the whole world hates you? Are you in love with an image that's totally? Or a rock or a horse. There is a people who can rise above, become famous, get a power and they crush the living daylights out of all around.
This is John Dix. I'm the author of Stranded in Paradise, and you're listening to Fresh FM.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM, with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.